Are we all sitting comfortably? Right. Before I say anything, this isn't directed at any one individual or any situation. It's for everybody. And I was thinking last week, do you sometimes, you have a weakness that you need help, you ask the Lord, I need to sort this out, please help me. And then before you realise it, you're in a test and you're being tested on it. And then you realise, I haven't really passed that, and you've let him down again. And then, on top of everything else, you've been asked to preach. And you think, how can I go out the front and preach? My friends know me, my family know me, God knows me. But then I thought, he can use anybody. And he even used a story in the Bible where he spoke through a donkey. And then I read something in Jonah's story. You know Jonah, when he was sent to preach a message of repentance to the Ninevites, an evil, barbaric, horrible race of people that he hated, and he didn't want to give that message, but he did reluctantly. He went and gave the message to the Ninevites, and to his horror, they actually repented, and he was really angry at that. He didn't want that outcome. He wanted them to be punished for their wicked ways. And he went off to sulk in the hot sun. And God put a palm or a plant to grow over him to shelter him. But then in the Christian Standard Bible, which I do not have, so I don't know how I managed to come across this. It must have been God. It said, in Jonah 4:7, the next day God appointed a worm. He appointed a worm. So if he can appoint a worm, then he can use any of us, can't he? I thought that was so good. Right. That's okay. No, it's given me a moment. I'm going to talk about two scriptures that appear to contradict each other. Galatians 6:2, that says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And Galatians 6:5, for each one should carry their own load. In the King, every translation uses words differently, like I just said about the worm being appointed. And in the King James Version, it used burden for both of these verses. For burden means excess, a weight so heavy you can't carry it, like a boulder. And a load is the things that we can carry, the everyday tasks, the things we need to do. They're the things that we can carry. Ideally, Jesus doesn't want us to have any burdens. He said in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But we live in a fallen world with an enemy who hates us. And anyway, Jesus never promised us a trouble-free life. But he did promise, I will never leave you or forsake you, in Hebrews 13:5. I'll talk about burdens first. Although we probably all know what a burden is, we've all got our stories. But interesting, the previous verse, Galatians 6:1, says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. So sin is obviously a big burden. Burdens can be spiritual, physical, practical, and emotional. They are the situations that weigh us down, and they're all interlinked, and the enemy is all too ready to help us be burdened by them. Spiritual burdens can be sin, as I've already mentioned. Guilt, unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, shame, despair, hopelessness, regret, to name a few. But these are things we can take to Jesus, but so often they're on a piece of elastic. Or we repeat the same sins over and over again, Or sometimes we don't even realize we're holding on to stuff. But the Holy Spirit will reveal to us the stuff as we need to deal with it. I started coming to church 38 years ago. I knew nothing about the ways of God. And previous to that, before I was married and had children, I had led a very, very troubled life, as some of you know. I was badly addicted to drugs for years. I've served 2 prison sentences, had severe anorexia, bulimia, cut myself, taken overdoses, been sexually abused, and drunk too much, and had what would be classed these days as mental health issues. I maybe talk about that another day. I was very burdened by many things, some of which I can't share with you. And becoming a Christian was never a sudden conversion, but a slow realization. And I would cry a lot. But nobody could leave these burdens with Jesus for me. I had to do it myself. But as I said before, they were on a piece of elastic. So I've always needed people to share things with. Some very secret and personal things. So there needed to be people I could trust. And people have helped me over the years unload these things and given them to Jesus. But one of the hardest was to forgive myself. I'm still working on that to a certain extent. And of course, new situations occur all the time, so it's an ongoing thing. I know we're a new creation. I know we're in no more condemnation. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:16, the old is gone, the new has come. But when we give our lives to Jesus, our spirits are reborn, but he doesn't just suddenly wave a magic wand over us and our characters are instantly transformed and all the scars have gone and all the memories have gone and all the wounds and instantly. It doesn't work like that. We have to work with him. But we're all cracked pots that need fixing. And he works with us all the time. And I feel sometimes you need to act wisely when you're telling somebody they're a new creation and there's no condemnation, because you sometimes get people saying, well, give it all to Jesus. And the thing is, it's totally true what they say, but that alone can put a burden on you because you feel you're not living up to a certain standard that you should be living to. And people have very, very deep wounds. But thank God, God is in the business of restoration. Now, burdens can be physical, practical, and emotional, and they're all connected. Get sickness, disabilities of ourselves, loved ones, friends, and we would never say they are a burden, but when people get really sick, or you have an elderly relative, they're not the burden, but the situation is a burden, and you need help. In 2002, my mother got dementia. I used to regularly visit my mother, and my mother was a proud lady, a very clever lady, a very gifted lady, always immaculately dressed, beautiful nails, never be in jeans like I am. She even wore heels up until her 90s. And I went to see her one day, and then she started to behave really strangely. And she started to do odd things and say odd things, and the situation got worse and worse. It was very, very distressing, and she thought I was wicked and I was evil and I was her enemy. And a lot of this, she wasn't a Christian, so a lot of the undealt with stuff in her all came to the surface. And a lot of the hurts, I caused my mother a lot of hurts when I was young. At the same time, my daughter, who was born, Ashley, as you know, she was born with hip sockets that weren't formed properly. She's had operations all her life, in and out of hospital for years and years. At one point, I visited my mum one day when she had dementia. I remember thinking, I really don't want to go today. And then I thought, oh, I better go. And when I got there, she had the gas taps full on and a flat full of gas, and that was really scary. But one time I had Ashley in hospital. in one hospital. I had my mother in another hospital. I had Tim at home, who was only 12, 13 at the time. And I was racing here, there, and everywhere. And it was pretty frantic and very drastic. But God always sends people to help. And one day, when we got the table with the magazines, I picked up a magazine and I read an article by a ministry called Parch, which is a ministry that goes into residential homes for the elderly. And the lady who wrote the article, I started to email her. She emailed me back. And all through those many, many months of despair and distress, she helped me through. She was amazing. And she was like a help for a drowning person. Also, non-Christians will help you. Tim had a best friend called Russell, whose family were non-Christians, but Russell's mum had Tim many, many times when I had to race around to these various hospitals. She had Tim. Tim was safe, he was being fed, and he was with other young people. And then at one point, I thought with my mum, right, I'll take her home with me. That was a big, big mistake. I was warned not to do it, but I did it. And Dave and Stephen helped me get some of her furniture and brought it to my house. I lasted for 1 week. I couldn't cope. I just couldn't cope. And then Dave and Stephen took all her stuff back. We took her back, which had caused her even more confusion. In the week that she was with me, this rather eminent, top-of-the-range psychiatrist came to my house to assess my mother. And lo and behold, she was suddenly really lucid. She was fine. And the psychiatrist, I was a wreck, a Christian and a wreck, like the disciples in the boat when there was a storm. I was in such a state I couldn't speak. I could only stutter. And the psychiatrist said, there's nothing wrong with your mother. He was very wrong, but there was plenty wrong with her, but he obviously thought it was me. I was the crackpot. So God will always, these heavy, heavy burdens that we can't cope with, God will always send somebody to help you. Burdens can also be finances, grief, changed lifestyles, broken relationships, house moving, single parenthood, addictions, sins and temptations, difficult teenagers, abortions, abuse of every kind, the list is endless. Difficult marriages, and we need each other's help. We need love, we need prayers, we need practical help, we need compassion and empathy. But before I go on to speak about the loads that we must carry, I'm going to show a YouTube clip from a Redwood Gospel Mission in America. Yeah, I thought that was really good. Right, now the loads that we carry. Loads, as I said before, are the responsibilities that we need to do for ourselves. God blessed us with the power to make our own choices, the choice to receive him, follow his word, to love others, to forgive ourselves, to learn from our mistakes, to say sorry when we sin, and to live for a greater purpose. We're responsible for our attitudes. Taking care of our children, being honest, paying our bills, owning up to our weaknesses, persevering, being teachable and open, and taking care of our health and our homes. They're all our loads. We can choose to accept responsibility for who we are and what we do, and where we're going, or we can continually make excuses for why we're not where we say we should be. Are we taking the necessary steps to grow and live in a godly manner? If we spend our whole lives responding, well, I didn't do it, it wasn't me, it was someone else, nothing will change. Now, burdens and loads... problems arise when people make a career of asking for help. They can misuse God's command to bear one another's burdens to avoid responsibility. and they want other people to do things for them when they should be doing them for themselves. Or, the other extreme, they act as if their burdens are their daily loads and refuse help, which can be pride, lack of trust, or fear. We absolutely must ask each other, share our burdens with one another, and ask for help. The one who expects help all the time could become irresponsible, and the one who refuses help is going to suffer. So discernment is needed in each case. But remember, what might be a burden for one person might just be a load for another. For example, we might be able to sort our own finances out, so that's our load, but somebody else, it's a burden. They can't sort their finances out. And that's where CAP will help people who are struggling with debt. CAP doesn't pay people's bills or give them money, but it teaches them how to budget, helps them with their burden. And if you were to give them financial help all the time, what would they actually learn? We have to ask God, when do we give financially and when don't we give financially? Another example is we can sometimes be so eager to help someone that we overdo it, and we can rob them of their ability to try for themselves. And we actually get in God's way. God might be saying, okay, you asked for my help, so stop trying to do it your way. Let me do it my way and get out of my way. That doesn't mean you get out of their presence, but it can mean simply stop interfering or putting your oar in and literally getting in God's way. I think the term can be disempowering. We're holding them back from growing. And we also might be meeting our own needs without realizing it. Take, for example, a 7-year-old boy comes home from school. His mother lovingly greets him at the door. He takes his coat off and drops it, kicks his shoes off, drops his school bag, his lunchbox falls out. He goes off wherever to sit and watch TV. His mum picks up his coat, hangs it up. She puts his shoes away. She picks his school bag up, picks a lunchbox up, takes it in the kitchen ready for the next to sort out for the next day, gets his homework out of the bag, puts it on the table, and says to him, right, come on, we've got to do homework now. And he moans and complains about it, but he's all right. Sits down, she helps him with his homework, he writes down some of the things she says. Well, all that is selfless love. It's selfless love. But is it helping him? No, it's not helping him at all. In fact, it's setting him up for failure, because his boss is never going to do that, and his wife, unless she's really silly, isn't going to do that. So we have, and also we have to be careful not to judge someone for not carrying a load we think they should be carrying, when actually they're not ready to carry it. So discernment comes in again. When I feel burdened, and I'm an anxious person, I know I shouldn't be, but I am. I talk to my friends, I talk to God. And, you know, he helps me. I know he helps me. And there's loads of things that I have overcome. Probably forgiving myself needs to be worked on, and not worrying needs to be worked on still. So we can't walk with everybody. So ask the Lord who you should pray for and who should visit. But we must definitely help one another.